On October 2nd of 1950, there was a new comic strip printed in only 9 newspapers across the country. Some of the more well-known newspapers, like the Washington Post, Chicago Tribune, and Boston Globe, ran this new comic strip, but 9 newspapers across the country aren't very many. But this comic strip gained some popularity. It was called Peanuts. Of course, it's a comic strip featuring Charlie Brown and Snoopy and all the other popular characters. And over the series of the next several strips, certain characters would be introduced. Some took longer than others. Snoopy was introduced in the 3rd strip, but it took some time for some of the other ones. One character I want to talk about this morning, Linus, Charlie Brown's best friend, was not introduced for another 2 years. In 1952. But it wasn't until June of 1954 that Linus was first shown with his most prized possession, his security blanket. Linus loves this blanket. He carries it everywhere with him, even to school, and he's not embarrassed by it at all. It's not uncommon for children to become attached to objects like this. These objects are also called transitional objects because they help a child transition from something that's familiar to something that's unfamiliar. These transitional objects can provide a sense of security when children are first beginning to explore the world and become more independent. They can provide comfort at a time when childhood fears, like the dark or strangers or anything else, can begin to set in. Children often choose their transitional object as something soft, something cuddly, something that they can hold close to them, like a blanket or a stuffed animal. Even some not-so-soft items can be chosen, like a book or a cup. This is because these are tactile reminders of things that are comforting, things that are positive in their minds. Things that remind them of places where they are safe and secure, like their home, their room, their parents. Even their own scent can be reassuring to them. When a child is scared or away from home, they can hold these objects close to them. They can smell them, feel them, and be comforted and feel secure. Even as we grow up, we can still find ourselves holding on to some security blankets. Normally, children, over time, outgrow these objects because they have gotten into the a phase of being comfortable with their own dependency, they're more independent and they're comfortable with that. They don't need that sense of security of something that was secure. But like I said, even as adults, we can find ourselves holding on to something to make us feel safe and secure. We don't usually carry on security blankets or something cuddly like that. But these are things that, like I said, they bring us comfort and a sense of security. And if we lose them, we'd find ourselves a mess, like Linus without his blanket. There are many different types of security blankets that we may have, such as our job, our families, past successes, or failures, we may hold on to those. Dreams and wishes and goals, we constantly think about those things in our lives, and that's something that makes us secure, thinking about those. Our assumptions, beliefs, and preconceived notions. Again, something like that, if we're holding too strongly on those things, and if they get broken, we can become shaken. Even activities in our lives can be a security blanket. Like reading a book, or going to the gym, gardening, lunch out with friends. Again, none of these things are bad by themselves. These are all good things to do, good things to have. But anything that we hold tighter than we hold to Christ, hold to God, is a security blanket. And if one of these things or other similar things become more important to us than God, then it may lead to sin. It's possible that instead of just providing us comfort and safety, which these things could do, they could actually be holding us down, keeping us from holding on to God instead. The thing that brings us comfort and pleasure may actually be a sin. And it's possible for our security blanket, the thing that brings us pleasure in this world, is actually a sin. Those things I mentioned, they aren't sins in and of themselves, but sometimes we can have a sin in our lives that is a security blanket in a way to us, because it brings us the pleasure, it brings us comfort. One of the biggest and probably most common security blankets for people in the world today is money. I want to look at what Solomon said about security blankets, with money being a security blanket. This is in Proverbs chapter 18. I'll be turning to Proverbs off and on, so you might want to keep something marked there. This is Proverbs 18, chapter 18, verse 11. It says, The rich man's wealth is his strong city, like a high wall in his own esteem. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. In the ancient world, in the world at this time, walls surrounding cities were very important. They were essential for defense and protection of the city. Cities without walls were very vulnerable to attack. They were defenseless. Solomon said that the wealthy hold on to their possessions as security blankets. They imagine their wealth as an impregnable wall. They think if they were to lose their money, if they were to lose their wealth, then their whole world would fall apart. They would be shaken. Not all security blankets are inappropriate, as I mentioned the list there, and even wealth. Wealth itself, having money itself, is not a sin. It's not bad to have money. But it's foolish to wrap ourselves up in a security blanket of wealth at the expense of trusting God to cover us with His grace and comfort. Again, if we hold on to wealth, if we hold on to money more than we hold on to God, that's when it becomes bad. Remember, it says in 1 Timothy 6 and 10 that the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money is the root of all evil, it's the love of money is the root of all evil. So like what Solomon said, the rich man's wealth is his strong castle, strong walls, strong city, excuse me. So if we hold on to our wealth, if we hold on to any security blanket as being a wall to a city to protect us, it might be in danger. In the Peanuts comic strip, Linus is shown as pretty much not being able to survive without his blanket. Even without it, even when it's being washed, when it's gotten dirty and it needs to be washed, it's in the washer for an hour or so. He goes bonkers. He has to sit by the washing machine waiting for it because he can't live without it. In one of the series of strips, Lucy, Linus's sister, uses Linus and his blanket as a science fair project. I don't remember many of these. It's been going on since 1950, but the internet's a wonderful thing sometimes in order to find some of these old strips. But she uses Linus and his blanket as a science fair project, because in this she shows how Linus gets dizzy and nauseous and eventually passes out when he is deprived of his blanket. And she won first place in the science fair project. So Linus is, understatement, he has a strong attachment to his blanket. And I don't want to keep referring to money, because as I listed, there are many other security blankets, but this is a powerful one, money is, and we have several examples of one, of money being the security blanket. But I'm going to read an example of someone who is using money as a security blanket, but not necessarily think of money. You could put anything in the position of this story, and anything that's powerful in your life as well. This is in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 17. Now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life. So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is, God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." And he answered and said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him, and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." But he was sad at this word, and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus encountered this man on the road, and from what we're told of him, he seems to be like a good man, a good person. He says that he has obeyed the commandments. But he had a security blanket. He was attached to his money. He was attached to his wealth. We're not told that he was necessarily greedy or materialistic. He may have given money to other people at times when they needed it. But when he was challenged to give it all up, to rid himself of his security blanket, he went away sorrowful because he was clinging to this blanket. He couldn't rid himself of that security, of that comfort that the wealth, the money gave him. Jesus couldn't have cared less about the money. It wasn't the money that Jesus wanted. Jesus was interested in the growth of this man. He was interested in what this man was feeling inside his heart and holding on to his possessions, his blanket, rather than him. So a good question for us to ask ourselves is, how would we react if our security blanket would be taken away from us? If we were to lose our job, which some people here have, or if we were to lose our health, as some people here have, how would that affect us? How would we react? Would we go away sorrowful because of the importance of our security blanket? Those things I listed before, even the activities like going to the gym, if we were injured in some sort of way, we weren't able to work out, and that was important to us, how would that affect our routine? If we were no longer able to go to lunch with our friends, how would that affect our routine? How would that affect us? Would we react like a lioness and get dizzy and nauseous and eventually pass out? Figuratively speaking, of course. Or maybe not. If you can't bear to imagine what it would be like to lose what you have, then you may be clutching on to that security blanket too much. Look at the reactions of the people after the 1929 stock market crash. They had a pretty strong reaction when they lost their security blankets. There are stories of investors jumping out of buildings because it was so bad. I think most of those have been disproven, that didn't actually happen, but it was going around at the time that people were thinking that people were jumping out of buildings. Even if it's not the case, the reactions of the people whose security blanket was money, they made the situation worse because they lost money and were selling all the stocks they had, and that made the market even worse, and more people sold. So it was just the reaction of those people, because they were so tied up, holding on to their money, holding on the security blanket so strongly, it had a devastating effect to the entire country. Even those who weren't holding on, who didn't have money in the stock market, everyone was affected pretty much. So how would you react if Jesus were to ask you to give up your security blanket? Jesus, of course, never asked Linus to give up his security blanket, but other characters in this comic strip did. Other characters tried to get rid of his security blanket, especially his sister Lucy, as I mentioned. She used him in the science fair project, but Lucy hated Linus's blanket. She hated that Linus carried it around with him. She has tried to bury it. She has made it into a kite and let it fly away. She locked it in a closet for 2 weeks and even threatened to burn it. Lucy did not like Linus's security blanket. We may need to have our friends and family tell us to get rid of our security blanket. If it's becoming too important to us, and if they notice that something is coming between us and God, then hopefully they would tell us. Paul wrote to the church in Galatia about us helping one another when we see each other in sin. So this is in Galatians chapter 6. If we see one another in a sin, if we see someone holding on the security blanket so tightly, it's coming between them and God, we may need to speak to them. So this is Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deserves himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. So basically the first verse there is, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. So if we see someone struggling, if we see someone that is holding on to their blanket too tightly, we can go to them. We are to help one another with a sin in our lives. If we become too dependent on something in the world, then we may need to tell someone about it. But the key word in that first verse is gentleness. The times when Lucy tries to take Linus's blanket away, it's not with gentleness. She just tries to yank it away from him. And Linus responds defensively. He fights back. He snaps the blanket at her to defend what he's holding on to. She doesn't come to him with gentleness. There's a right way and a wrong way to confront someone about taking their blanket away. And that way is different with every person and with every type of blanket. And hopefully that person, if you go to speak to someone, hopefully you have that relationship with that person to know how to do so with gentleness. Over the years, Linus seems to want to get rid of the blanket on his own. There are times when he even notices that he's holding on to it too much and it's time for him to get rid of it. Even though he knows it would be a mess without it, he still wants to get rid of it. In one instance, Linus tries to give his blanket to Charlie Brown. He gives it to Charlie Brown and says, "Don't give it back to me, no matter how much I beg, no matter how much I plead, don't give it back to me." But on the first instance, Linus goes up to him and asks for it. Charlie Brown gives it back. Linus is upset because Charlie Brown gave in so easily. So then later, I don't know, it wasn't the next series, it was a while after this, Linus again tries to get rid of his blanket. This time he gives it to Snoopy. With the same condition, don't give it back to me no matter what. Snoopy doesn't. Linus begs and begs, Snoopy doesn't give it back. He eventually makes it into a sport coat for him and Woodstock. Destroys the blanket, makes it into a suit. A sport coat. After a few days without it, because it's a little scrap. They show in the comic. I looked this one up. It's a little scrap of nothing. He can't do anything with it. So he's without his blanket. He can't. It's literally been taken away. So after a few days, he wakes up one morning, realizes he's not dizzy. His stomach doesn't hurt. And he begins to celebrate that he is cured. He's gotten rid of his blanket. He's not dependent on the blanket anymore. But then Charlie Brown comes along, who felt so bad that his dog, Snoopy, destroyed his blanket. Charlie Brown went and bought him a new one. He bought him a new blanket, getting Linus hooked again on having a security blanket. Sometimes we may have a security blanket that is sinful in our lives. Some sin that we are addicted to, that we can't let go of. But we know that having the security blanket's wrong. We know we need to get rid of it. We know we shouldn't have it anymore. but it just makes us so comfortable. So we think we may have it beat. We may try to get rid of our security blanket. We may get rid of our sin, or at least resist the temptation. Everything's going along good. But then it may be our friends, it may be our family that brings it back to us. It may be the company we keep that brings us back to the comfort of our blanket. So we need to be careful about who our friends are, who we are keeping company with. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 33 says, "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits." I also like how this is read in the New International. It says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." The company we keep may be reinforcing our dependency upon the security blankets in our lives, the sin in our lives, instead of helping us realize that true security comes from God. And so we have to be careful about the company we keep. We have to ask ourselves if they're helping us or hurting us. Charlie Brown, supposed to be Linus's best friend, hurt him. He was over his dependency on the security blanket, but he helped him come back, helped that dependency come back into his life. It wasn't on purpose. He didn't have the intention of doing that. He saw his friend without a need and didn't know the situation. Obviously, he did know the situation, that Linus was dependent upon it, but I mean not how badly Linus wanted to get rid of it. So sometimes this can be unknowingly, on purpose, people drag us back, but it can be unknowingly as well. Sometimes our pride can also get in the way of us overcoming our dependency, our hold on a security blanket. Again, sometimes we think we have a sin beat. Sometimes it's been X number of days or months or years since we've been tempted or fallen to the temptation, only to find ourselves drawn back again to it. In another series of strips, it doesn't say how this time, but Linus announces he's given up his blanket. He's cured of his blanket need. He tells Snoopy that he wants to write a book to tell everyone how he gave up the blanket. He starts going door to door, house to house, telling people how he gave up his blanket. And he wants to help kids, other kids who are holding on to their blankets that can't give it up. He wants to help them. He opens a clinic, puts an ad in the newspaper to come to his house to help other kids with this blanket dependency. But in the end, he is tricked by Sally, Charlie Brown's sister. She manipulates him and tricks him. And so he goes back to a security blanket again for comfort and security. He was too prideful. He had thought he'd gotten rid of it, so he was announcing it. He was telling everybody that he'd gotten over it. And that led to him falling back into the dependency of the blanket. There's a saying in the Alcoholic Anonymous program that could apply to this. It says, "Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic." Linus, always dependent upon his blanket, will always be dependent upon his blanket. There could be something in our lives, some blanket we have, no matter how it seems we have it beat, some sin we have beat, it can always come back to us. We have to be watchful. And we got to make sure we don't have the pride. Solomon warns of having pride in our lives, of course. That's again in Proverbs 16 and 18. It says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Seems to me that Linus was being proud that he had overcome his need for the blanket, but then he fell. He was getting proud and he fell. He fell back into the need of the blanket. We need to make sure we're not going back to past sins, past security blankets in our lives. Again, also in Proverbs, Solomon warns of this. Proverbs 26 and 11. "As a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly." And then Peter quoted this in 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 2, starting verse 20. It says, For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. If we've gotten rid of a security blanket, we need to keep it away from us. Don't come back to it, either willingly ourselves or people giving one back to us. Earlier I read from Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs 18, chapter 11, again, that said, a rich man's wealth is a strong city. I wanted to look at the verse right before that, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. So a rich man looks upon his wealth as a strong city, as his security. But the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it. That is our source of security. That is our true security blanket. It comes from the Lord. That's who we're supposed to hold on to so strongly and be a mess if we're without it. On Wednesday nights, I'm leading a class on the book of Judges. And a few weeks ago, we covered the story of Deborah, the only female judge, leading up to the battle between the Israelites and the Canaanites. We're told how the Canaanites, under King Jabin and being led by Sisera, they had 900 iron chariots. It's mentioned several times, so it's an important piece. They had 900 iron chariots. And the Israelite army, led by Deborah's general Barak, they were all on foot. They didn't have the horses. They didn't have the chariots. Possibly didn't have hardly any weapons. Because it says in the next chapter they were without spear, shield and spear, or something like that. So they didn't have much going up against these 900 chariots, but they had God. They had God. And during the battle, there was a massive rainstorm, and it caused the river that they were fighting around to flood, to overflow. This wasn't an area, it's a particularly dry area usually, so this flood was like a flash flood. And it basically rendered the horses and the chariots useless because the horses were breaking their hooves, the chariots were getting stuck in all the water and the mud that was being caused. So the 900 chariots on all the horses they had were useless. In Psalms chapter 20, I think David may have been referring to this story. Psalms chapter 20, verses 7 through 9. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, may the King answer us when we call. Some put their trust in chariots and horses. Some put their trust in money, or in other senses of security in people's lives that help bring them comfort, security. But those horses and chariots, they didn't help the Canaanite army too much. But the Israelite army put their trust in God. He was their security blanket, at least at this point. He wasn't later, but they keep coming back to him. But at this point, he was their security blanket, and they were victorious. Jesus offered the rich young man a real source of security. He offered him a heavenly home. He offered that in place of the fake security, the illusion of security that he was getting from the security blanket of his wealth that he was clinging to. The young man went away sad, of course, like we said, because he couldn't let go of it. So are you holding on to a security blanket this morning? Are you holding on to it too tightly? So tightly that you're not holding on to God? Is it hindering you from following God with all your heart and mind and soul? Jesus is calling you this morning to put your security blanket aside, put it aside, and follow him. And the invitation is yours as we stand and sing.